the protests and unrest around the country in the 2 weeks since George Floyd's death in police custody have been compared to the events of April 1968. In the wake of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, dozens of cities saw demonstrations and some destructive riots. The rhetoric coming from the White House, however, was noticeably different. While President Lyndon Johnson condemned violence, he also voiced an understanding of people's anger and signed a fair housing bill just over a week later. Our next guest says there's a lot today's leaders could learn from one of the nation's most tense moments. Kyle Longley is a professor of history and political science at Arizona State University. He's the author of several books, including LBJ's 1968, Power, Politics, and the Presidency in America's Year of Upheaval. Kyle, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, as we said, there's been a lot of comparing of our current moment to those 1968 protests and riots. Can you start by comparing the two situations in terms of the challenge they created for a president?
Well, for the president, of course, it was finding in 1968 the fine line between denouncing the violence but also acknowledging what the root causes were. And President Johnson did a fairly good job of recognizing that despite all that had been done in 64 and 65, that so much more still remained to do. He also saw that the riots were a reflection on the problems that were in the inner cities, in the deltas, all the different parts of the country, of African Americans and their frustration, including that with how the police forces responded to them.
Tell us how, in the very immediate aftermath of Dr. King's assassination, in the next day or two, what were some of President Johnson's first public statements and actions as the riots were starting around the country?
Well, one of the first things he did was organize a meeting at the White House of civil rights leaders to discuss the issues and what to try to accomplish to assuage some of the challenges that existed. Then he took the whole group. They went to a memorial service at the National Cathedral, and then he returned home and returned to the White House, flanked by these same leaders, and called for calm and called for nonviolence, but also acknowledged that Congress and the country needed to do a lot more to help these people address the issues of socioeconomic disparities and the frustrations with the violence being perpetrated on them by security forces.
How would you rate President Johnson's statements about racial justice, not just those in public speeches, but in private meetings? How strong were his feelings and his expressions on this topic?
Much stronger than what we've seen, come out of the White House today. He clearly understood the struggles. And while he had not been able to accomplish all he wanted to, he definitely wanted to accomplish more. And he had done probably more on civil rights and for the poor, of which many were African-American, than any American president since FDR. And on political, he did far past what FDR did. But he also understood there was still so much more to do. And in private, he would say things like, you know, I understand why someone looks and they see their leaders assassinated and why they might want to pick up a gun, or why when you've had somebody the foot on their neck for so long, for 400 years, that when they get up, the first thing they want to do is knock your block off. So he did show empathy, which I think, again, is a contrast to what we're seeing today. And, you know, the riots in 68 were much worse. They did order the troops into Washington, D.C., but the difference is President Johnson told his leaders and told the commanders, you better not injure anyone if at all possible. And he was getting pressured. Senator Byrd from West Virginia told him, well, we need to shoot them, but only the adults and only in the leg. So he was getting pressured to respond much more so. But in the whole time U.S. troops occupied Washington, D.C., only three bullets were fired.
We're talking right now with Kyle Longley. He's a professor of history and political science at Arizona State University. He's the author of several books, including LBJ's 1968, Power, Politics, and the Presidency in America's Year of Upheaval. And we are talking about how President Johnson reacted to the widespread protests and riots in 1968, taking a look at how we can compare that to today. As you just said, President Johnson didn't condone the violence or the looting, even though he could understand some of the source of that action. The Fair Housing Bill that he signed a week after Dr. King's death did include anti-rioting provisions. Let's take a listen to some of what he had to say after signing that legislation.
We all know that the roots of injustice run deep. But violence cannot redress a solitary wrong or remedy a single unfairness. And we just must put our shoulders together and put a stop to both. The time is here. Action must be now.
So listening to that, do you hear echoes of feelings and intent that President Johnson had leading up to these events and also in the weeks, months, and years that followed?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think it's important to contextualize. He'd already dealt with a series of riots, Watts in 65, Detroit in 67. This is just the culmination in 68 of many of these things. And again, the first two related to police violence against African Americans. So I think he definitely saw that the violence was leading to a backlash, and that was one of the first things that he wanted to address. And he also, I think, to a degree, despite his differences with Martin Luther King, understood King's commitment to nonviolence and how that tied into the whole effort to do things like the Fair Housing Act.
What kind of response did President Johnson get from members of his own party and from others?
He wanted to push through another multi-billion-dollar plan to help the inner cities in particular, and he ran headlong into strong opposition. The pivotal election in the 1960s is not 1968, I don't think. I think it's 1966 when you see such a backlash against what would be characterized as liberal Democrats. And the conservative Democrats who leave the party in the 70s and 80s, they firmly had their heels dug in, and they weren't going to do anything further. And they felt like they had Johnson on the run. And it's also important to contextualize that on March 31st, he had announced he wasn't going to seek re-election. So in essence, he's a lame-duck president.
President Johnson did ultimately deploy the military in different American cities. What brought him to that decision when it seems like that was probably something that he was hoping not to have to do?
Well, the amount of violence. I mean, we're talking, they can smell the embers of burning buildings in the White House on those spring days in April. And so the other part of it that I think a lot of people may miss is he also felt like by putting the military in, he had more control over trying to limit the violence because he did not trust the number of the police forces. He did not trust the number of the mayors and governors not to overreact. In fact, one of the first things he did was he put a number of his people on the ground in Memphis to try to prevent the Buford Ellington, the governor, from really cracking down hard and creating more violence. And that was one of his major goals, was try to limit the damage, try to limit the violence. And he felt more faith in the federal troops than he did on the National Guard and, of course, the local police.
And briefly, in our last minute, how would you compare the response in these days after the George Floyd killing in police custody? How would you compare President Trump's reaction to that of LBJ in 68?
Well, it's complete opposite. No empathy has been shown, no really understanding that there are deeper roots to the problems. And again, if anything, wanting to use more force, and including the federal government. But fortunately, generals and others pushed back on that within the Pentagon. So I would say it's 180 degrees difference. Did Johnson handle it perfectly? Absolutely not. But did he do it a much better job than what, unfortunately, we're seeing right now. He sought to unify, not divide. And that's why he brought the civil rights leaders in. That's why he talked to the mayors and said, get out into the streets and try to calm this down before it gets out of hand. And also why he was trying to go to Congress to try to get programs passed to try to address the fundamental roots of the problems.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today.
My great pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Kyle Longley is a professor of history and political science at Arizona State University. He's the author of several books, including LBJ's 1968, Power, Politics, and the Presidency in America's Year of Upheaval. He talked with us about how President Johnson's response to protests and riots in 1968 compares to President Trump's rhetoric today.